Okay.
It moves before us with the gestures of being itself. It is a night world, and literally, as Joyce reiterates, is absent-minded. Letters, in brackets, every letter is a godsend. That's a quote from Joyce. The frozen, formalized gestures are remote ages of a collective experience that move before us in solemn morass. So we're at this point where the letters, the frozen, formalized gestures of remote ages of collective experience move before us in solemn morass. They are the representative of the age-old adequation of mind and things, enacting the drama of the endless adjustment of interior acts and disposition of mind to the outer world. The drama of cognition itself, for it is in the drama of cognition, the stage of apprehension, that Joyce found the archetype of poetic imitation. It seems to have been the first to see that the dance of being, the nature imitated by the arts, has its primary analog in the activity of the exterior and interior senses. In other words, McLuhan supposedly invented the idea of media extension of senses. No, it was in Joyce. Joyce was aware of that this doctrine, that sensation is imitation because the exterior forms are already in a new matter. When you're experiencing, the hidden ground is what you haven't experienced yet, and it's all, your senses are already in them. That sensation is imitation because the exterior forms are already in a new matter, a new ground happening right in the process of sensory interaction. That thing is implicit in Aquinas. Joyce made explicit Stephen here on the portrait and founded his entire poetic activity on these analogical proportions of the senses. Then he goes over here. Here's what this is about. So that's 32.
Gotcha.
Now these are things you're going to have to really meditate on, right?
Yep.
Daedalus, that is to say, Daedalus was the first to grasp the relation between the pagan rebirth rituals and the labyrinthine retracings of the artistic process. This is how art, the Greek Western individualist idea of art, came out of the pagan rituals. What was the cause? The phonetic alphabet. Okay? Or just writing in general. The pagan rituals were imitations of nature in soi operation because the soul imprisoned in existence could only be released by retracing the stages of its fall and descent through the various degrees of material being. Necessarily, therefore, all artistic imitation first arose from the pagan liturgies or mysteries. If Daedalus was the first to note this relation, Joyce was first to see in these ancient rituals of descent and return the perfect externalization in drama and gesture of the stages of human apprehension. The retracing of any moment of cognition will thus provide the unique artistic form of that moment, and its art form coincides with its quiddity, except that the artist's arrest was otherwise fleeting. There's your arrest thing. And Marshall will bring up this arrest factor all through here.
Ah.
Okay, now, McLuhan is analyzing what Joyce did. You can't have art in once you have television. The arrest doctrine is irrelevant, and nostalgic, you know, the stuff I say here, Wes, is wrong. The more you understand what Joyce established, which for most people would be hard to understand, but once you get it, then you realize McLuhan is operating beyond that. And therefore, all of your work is always romanticizing the living in the now and all that. No, there is no now to live in anymore because the electric digital world erases it immediately, like quantum particles. When I met with this guy, Bucky, the guy who's the ambassador to the Republic of Texas, an artist came in, a woman, and we got talking. And she says, I just live in the now. That's all there is. I said, no, there is no now anymore. And I proceed to explain how virtual reality erases it now. She goes, that's fucking amazing. She immediately texts her ex-husband, which she probably has an ongoing argument with. She says, Edgar, there is no now.
That's Bruce Hampton, by the way.
Yeah.
Bruce Hampton, that's amazing.
But see, that's a concept of Bruce Hampton.
Right, right.
McLuhan is explaining the causes of the perception that there is no now.
Right.
So, you know, what we got is one step back with Alan Watts and everybody saying, this is it, the now is where it's at. It's normal wisdom now. People say, you got to live in the now. They haven't got to the present.
Yeah. Okay,
with that in mind, you see why I made fun of all the little quotes you're always giving me?
Oh, yeah.
They're aesthetic, they're speech.
Yeah.
When you speak me something, you haven't even begun to deal with anything.
When I speak to you, I got to use words.
Yeah.
Boy.
Okay.
So can we go off on a couple of?
No, this is a good point. But so the causes.
Right.
So in light of all that, page 137, this Joyce, he's translating Joyce, and you don't translate Joyce by finding what Joyce means. There's too many meanings, and in three lines or three words, right? And Joyce is showing that all the meanings are being erased by electric media.
Right.
So, that's why you're dealing with effects merged with causes and process pattern recognition via percept. it's not your sensory percepts, you're looking at the extension of your sensory percepts, the media themselves,
right,
as the way to understand why effects and causes are getting mixed up.
Right. Okay, let's shift first, because here's what I'd like to do. Hit these four things. We did one excellently. Hit these four and not go too deep into them, and then we'll develop them over the next day.
And when did we do this beautifully? The other day on the phone?
No, I'm saying we're doing it beautifully right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, number two is Ann Arbor Film Festival. So I'm writing a book on the history of the Ann Arbor Film Festival. Basically, just like a couple minutes.
Jerry, what's the first thing I would say? Well, film ain't the fucking environment in the 50s and 60s. Television satellites are.
Right.
So obviously film is going to become an art form and archetypal.
Very good.
So that's what you begin with if you're going to write a book. The archetypalization of the filmic process and caused by... See, you use the concepts of the history of Ann Arbor to teach McLuhan perceptual training.
That's what I'm trying to do. So
you got to understand McLuhan to be able to do it.
I know. Yeah. Well, it's a process. Yeah. I'm working at it. Okay, so archetypical what?
The archetypalization of cinema.
Of cinema. Okay, so because here is...
But there's another thing that happens.
Okay.
You can say the archetypalization is done by New Wave Cinema out of France. All right?
Yep.
They start looking at American movies differently.
Yep.
When the satellite comes in and people are getting TV and radio and rock and roll and the boomers are coming along, it's beginning to be a fragmented environment, and the kids are actually putting on short films because the technology is available to them to express sensibilities molded by the satellite, not the filmic environment when it was invisible in the 30s. So the kids are hot. They're, okay, now we stop there. The process is new environment, cliche, art, archetype. The four stages.
Four stages are...
First, it's the last word. It's new. It's the last word, right?
New. Hey.
In brackets, the last word.
Hey, what's new? It's not out yet.
Yeah.
What's Marshall's thing?
Yeah. Have you heard the latest? No, it isn't out yet.
Yeah, I got to start one.
Yeah.
You heard the latest. Not out yet. Okay, I got to...
And then the other one is the guy goes into the antique store.
Yeah.
And says, what's new?
Into antique store. What's new?
And those are playing off the old and new cliche and
okay, Edgar. These four stages again.
Last word, the new or last word.
Okay.
Then it becomes a cliche, everybody's familiar
okay.
with it. Then it becomes an art form.
Okay.
And then it becomes an archetype.
Okay.
Now art form is at the point when some new thing becomes the last word, therefore making the old environment starting to be looked at differently, a little more consciously, and start tweaking it, and you make art out of it.
Okay.
Right? Then when there's many technologies throughout the 20th century, many technologies become art forms, and the older ones become huge. Archetype. So the book, From Cliché to Archetype, is about the process of what McLuhan calls intermedia action. So many media have become archetypes, and that's what's on my formula chart. Media archetypes. Because we're moving into a world with no media. There's no way to distinguish one medium from another. In the digital cell phone intertexting iPhone, okay? So, that process. So with that given process, we look at art. A film becomes art with new wave and realism and Truffaut and those guys in the 50s in their cinema magazine, right? By the 60s, though, it's art.
Henry Langlois, actually.
Yeah.
You know him. Andre.
Right.
Okay.
So by the 60s, film is archetype. To archetypal right. experience. But the kids are responding to the hidden ground of satellite, solar, theater, fragmentation, right?
Yeah.
The mixed corporate media world. So they're going to grab anything they can, like you did with Pixel, and quickly express themselves, because the demand is to express yourself. Demand yourself, translate yourself into another medium, because all the Android meme and environment around you is constantly translating itself.
Right.
So everybody wants to be an artist in the baby boomer generation. So they put on the cheap filmmaking and kind of use the archetypal film as cliche probe, which is taking an archetype, you'll see that in the cliche archetype book,
You take an archetype, ye old archetype becomes new probe, new cliche probe. You pull out cliche archetype. You got that?
Yeah.
The hardcover with the flap?
Yep.
This is a key process in the middle of the 60s. Marisha said this is way beyond understanding media. Yeah, you open it inside here. Well, first of all, sure. Archetype. Cliche archetype is systole, diastole. That means pumping in and out. Cliche is probe. Cliche is background. Breakdown. Hendiades. Cliche is double probe. Environment is cliche. Many technologies by the 60s are cliche. Many environments, right? Public is cliche. New archetype. In other words, not really new, it's in quote. Is ye o cliche writ large. Okay? I think he thought he had another one. Maybe he said, okay. From cliche to archetype is Marshall Kuhn's most important and definitive statement on today's culture and technology since understanding media. It goes way beyond the medium as the message theme into a scintillant study of the process of intermediate action. He's getting into page 137. Alright? Of Take Today. In other words, most people read these later books and McLuhan's just repeating himself. They didn't understand. No, he's not repeating himself. He's updating it and showing that it's way beyond the formal categories of understanding media. Because effects are merging with process and process pattern recognition because there are actually no media left. That's what McLuhan means by intermediate. It's his way of pointing out to the interplay. And it's Gerd Stern who developed the intermediate idea in his art.
Then that's actually a good thing where I can change this if I need to.
Here's the blurb for Mom.
All right, we'll do that in a minute.
Because I could add that line right in there.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Okay. Say this is way beyond Media Mess or the Finnings Wake Group. You are announcing in the intermediate stage two of Bob Dobb's class is intermediate action. You know, ye old cliche writ large. Okay, so as I was saying, as older media become archetypal, then you have these kids in Ann Arbor take film technology with rapid, easier, expensive cameras.
Okay, cheaper, yeah.
They take the archetype of film and they make it a cliche probe. They use it in... It became what's called underground cinema, which was cinema in a new context. In a context of many media becoming archetypal, and then taking any medium from the past, a book. That's why the 60s was total avant-garde and experimental. Everybody was taking all the archetypal media and probing with them in cliche situations. From op art, cliche art, concept art, to avant-garde cinema, to taking psychedelics, to rock, to concept albums like Zappa, all the whole range of expression of the 60s that the Android meme imitates now via YouTube or whatever, that's what was established in the 60s. So it's taking, and McLuhan named it perfectly. He said, you're taking the old archetypes and making them new cliches. So I thought it was on the flat. Maybe he says it in the book. He says, new cliche becomes old archetype, and new archetype becomes old cliche. So, and an old cliche, you have to play around with this. Old cliche becomes, if you've been around a long time, you're an old cliche, you become an archetype. Like it says in Four Stages, cliche becomes archetype. Now, if they're always turning over under global theater conditions, so you have these cliches come back as archetypes and then becoming a new cliche within the intermediate action.
Amazing. So let me tell you this. There's various ways I'm approaching this. And see, here's this amazing book that's the template for my book, because Canyon Cinema is the distributor of all this. So I go to Chick Strand, the filmmaker. I'm interviewing all these people for these workshops.
What workshop? Your workshop?
For my workshops in Ann Arbor, which the prep to write this book, The History of the Ann Arbor.
You already
Film
did
Festival.
One in March?
I've done them for 3 years.
Okay, those are your prep. It's like what people do. They write columns today, and the columns are just chapters in their book.
Right. And that's what I'm prepping it. So go to...
Prepping means preparing material for it.
Yep, and I say, and it's an oral history. It's an oral history, too. Someone said, you're doing an oral history, because I have all these interviews with all these...
No, you tell them I'm doing espionage. I'm using this schooling situation as a focus group, because we're in a process of endless cliche archetypes.
That's good. I like that. Make note of that, tape recorder.
We can develop this in the interview tonight.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. So, just a couple teeny points, because I don't want to go too far. Just, you can think about, you don't have to react to them right now. You can think about them, just to tell you. One is, she says, okay, me and Bruce, who started Canyon Cinema in San Francisco, we're sitting there and we want to recreate our 11-cent movie-going experience. And so we're going to show a serial, a cartoon, and a feature, and an experimental film. And then Brackage came along and says, no, you should just be showing experimental films. So the big thing is...
That's back in the 60s?
Yeah. Yeah. And then George Manupelli in Ann Arbor is exclusive, like Brackage was telling them to do.
Yeah.
He says, just show experimental film and animation and documentary, but we're going to show experimental film. He doesn't even call experimental. He says artist films. You know, like Michael Snowden.
That's what he said back then?
Yeah. And so then over 45 years, it's sort of exclusive.
You see, that's why they said, Brackage and them as artists were knowing that, well, we don't want to do films or celebrate the old Hollywood or the old childish experiment. We want to probe and disorient sensory existence as an avant-garde artist. So we're going to use film as a cliche probe.
Right. That's good. As a cliche probe. Okay, now...
That means
just to tell you what where I'm
and
coming
that leads
from.
To so camp and irony.
Camp and irony, very good. And so then you've got 40 years of this, and then Bill Brown, the young great, real. They're all the great experimental filmmakers now are like Todd Haynes. They come out of semiotics.
Right.
They're not even setting out to be filmmakers, and then they whittle into filmmaking, and they're semiotic guys, so they're fucking brilliant. When I start laying this McLuhan shit on, they fucking get it.
No, but they're familiar with, but they don't get it.
Right, right. I mean, they get it on my level. Yeah, right.
Here, McLuhan, in the 60s, we're living at the speed of light.
Right.
We now live at the speed of thought.
Right.
And semiotics is analyzing the thought. That's why they all went into theory.
Right.
There's no need to make anything, so everybody just comes up with ideas, and then they're forced.
Well,
they're forced to make a something, so they go into a fucking movie and they show their thought in the movie.
And most people watch and go, "This is stupid. It's a long take.
Yeah.
Where's the edit?"
And
so then he says, "Yeah, it was."
Who's he?
Bill Brown says, "Hakim Bey, like the autonomous zone." We wanted to find the zone where we could promote and hoik up our experimental films. So now the new director comes in and she fucks with it and leaks in HBO stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it's becoming more
Sundance
inclusive. So why shouldn't we? Isn't the long run we want experimental film to...
Now, the satellite effect. What's the psychological effect of satellite? It allows you to float around the planet and be beyond the TV, movie, radio, newspaper, bulldozer, cities, oil company. You're an isolated individual.
So the satellite.
So in the 60s was do your own thing. So you got these baby boomers who want to do art that separates themselves from the mass media programming of the Android beam. So they do not want to bring any signs from the mainstream like HBO.
Right.
So they will drop out, like everybody gets pissed off at Sundance.
Right.
And all these things, when they become successful, they reach failure because they lose the original...
Well, Schrader says, the role of the artist is to attempt to sell out, but fail.
To sell out and fail. That's good.
But fail.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on from Ann Arbor, because that's just touching on, because there's a million things. I'm hitting up all these people with these issues. Okay, comment on this, and I can tell you the heavy also one, really quick, was... Frank Morris made Frank Film. Now you gotta go to ubu.com and you can see the whole history of avant-garde cinema. And Frank Film.
What's Frank Film?
It was the great 1973 film which blew me out when I found
out.
When I saw it then and when I started interviewing him a year ago, blew me out. It was so good because Tony Schwartz came in on it.
I mean, are you saying you it was good, or someone told you that it was made good by Tony coming into production?
He helped the maker, Frank Morris, helped me realize that Tony Schwartz really helped solidify the film as being the great short it is. It's like one
how does
of the
he tell you? How do you know that?
He told me. In the making, he says, we were students.
We consulted with Tony.
And we watched his TV commercial, and we said, dude, can you help us with this film? And he goes, yeah. And he says, well, this is what we want to do. He says, look, let me work on this. You guys go away.
Work on the film.
Yeah, and he put the double soundtrack, and there's two layers of sound, and then it was like, we don't like that. Okay, we'll keep it. And yeah. It's like...
So you're saying Tony made it.
Help make it the great
and
film.
And no one knew that. He's not giving credits?
No, his name's credited on it.
But you didn't know it. You didn't
We didn't know who Tony Schwartz was
back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're saying you're amazed at Tony.
Yeah, so that was like, it's like amazing. So
Tony's an amazing archive.
Yeah. But he's also a smart guy because he...
No. Tony's amazing archive. Like 100 hours of Fluent on tape in the mid-60s. Got sold to an institution.
Oh, okay.
And we're waiting to find out what the institution is.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll have access to it.
Great. Okay, so...
No, there was a point here, Tony.
Well, the point is that I asked these guys, film as an art form has been swindled by capitalism. Could you comment on that? So Frank Morris says, oh, that's what I went through. And he used the same thing. Harvard kid gets into filmmaking, leaks into Hollywood semi, makes enough money, and then he wants to remain artist because Hollywood will screw your art.
Yeah.
Jay Cassidy works with the Ann Arbor Film Festival for 7 years, makes political and social films, won't say it's experimental, says it's personal filmmaking, comes into Hollywood, has worked in Hollywood for 20 years, Sean Penn's editor, edited Inconvenient Truth. I says, could you comment on it? And he goes, no, that wouldn't be wise for me to comment on that.
On what?
On film as an art form has been swindled by capitalism.
Oh, he would.
So, and they're friends. So it was amazing I get that.
One guy goes,
Frank Morris,
drops out, and the other guy doesn't. And he's compromised, can't say anything.
And he says, that wouldn't be good for me to comment on.
Well, so, he's trapped. Yeah. Here's the thing. Part of the generation boomers doing this put-on art and cliche probe is that they were doing it they were using one medium, film, to jump to some other thing. Either to become a rock band or have a press conference or get laid or end up like Sting being in movies and just jump from one medium. They had no loyalty. They were what McLuhan called metaphysically promiscuous. I would say maybe he meant mediumistically promiscuous.
Yeah.
So they did not care which cliche probe they were stuck in. And Frank was like that. He was any medium. He says any medium available to do what he wants to do. Right, that famous quote.
That's really good. Mediumistically.
So the promiscuity, the corruption of the baby boomers that they would not understand was that they were media wise promiscuous and didn't know that that was a satellite effect which went around all the media, programmed them all, but was not any one of them.
So one of the keys to my book is satellite, Ann Arbor Film Festival. That's a really good point.
The satellite.
Okay.
And look, you got to stop quoting McLuhan, you got to start quote me.
Okay.
McLuhan's long gone. You got to say Dobbs says this.
Because the guy, he gets up, he says, McLuhan's been dead for 50 years. So he says, you use an optical printer, it's been dead. The people don't use it for 30 years, and they just want to say McLuhan's dead. Yeah.
That's why you got to play down McLuhan and use me.
That's good.
You got to start using my ideas, because I'm actually using McLuhan, but it's McLuhan nobody knows. So I get credit for it seeing what's in McLuhan. Just like McLuhan got credit for seeing what was in Joyce and no one else saw.
Dude, I will say...
I say you got to use all this shit.
I say it many times. I like that we put...
But once you get a handle on this new level, you can say it's just Dobbs stuff.
Yeah, it's very good. Okay,
then that leads to why you're putting on the fucking... Bob Festival, at the MUM, because let's watch what Bob says in different contexts, because what he's saying is not what you think. He's a great actor.
Right.
This is what's brilliant about Mary. He's the only person, it's like George Thompson, the only guy who said to me, Marshall wasn't a Catholic. I knew that, and he's the only guy who kind of knew it. Mary's the only person to ever say to me that said Marshall was an actor.
Oh, my God.
So she's, and I said
she's
to her,
McLuhan turned Catholic as a performance art piece. What I always say.
She may not go that far, but she understands McLuhan as an actor in his performances. No one says that.
Right.
And then I go, well, Mary, I've been saying for years, and it's on the record, he was the greatest actor of the second half of the 20th century.
Yeah.
Now, how could he be an actor? He doesn't look like he's acting, but what is the...
Well, because it came out as his mom. He learned being an actor from his mom.
That's why we brought it up. We were talking about the influence.
Yeah.
And the point is that... if everybody's an actor in a global theater, and then if you're a Hollywood actor, you get ripped off and exploited.
Right.
How can you be an actor as any environment in a world where everybody's an actor? McLuhan figured out how it was. And Mary, in passing, said he acted serious. He pretended he was serious. That I said, that's right. And he was serious about what he was doing, like Frank says. People don't understand how you can do something seriously that you don't take serious. Frank was saying he was an actor too, acting the role of
a
composer.
How to be an actor in as an anti-environment is
no.
to be serious.
No, no, that's just the beginning of it. Right. That's her. She's saying they didn't know. No, he did this by being serious. In other words,
right.
like a scientist.
Right.
But it's not he was trying to be an actor and that was the be-all
right.
ground. There was so complexity.
He was faking being
faking
an actor.
Everything.
Yeah.
But because, he was acting that.
Right. Because
he knew the media were the real actors in the global theater.
Okay, could you say this then?
No, tape, good.
Yeah. Could you say this?
No, you put this with the
right.
tape we did a couple of months ago.
Right.
You got two important
right.
dialogues.
Could you say this? Bob taught me
how to lie. No. Bob taught me that it was okay to lie.
No. They asked Tom Waits, on what occasion do you lie? He goes, I didn't know you needed an occasion. Because everybody goes, on what occasion do you lie?
Now, see, that
to protect my family.
Yeah. No, but Jerry, that is the boomer awareness of
right.
irony and how speech is obsolete and Waits and these people say things
right.
like that. They do not know from the media
right.
science point the causes of the situation.
Right.
And they get screwed up. They get
yeah.
nervous breakdowns, drugs
right.
for 5 years, because they don't know what's impelling them to have this
yeah.
meta ironic attitude about information.
Meta. I want that one. Meta. Okay, now.
How about meta on Bob? Meta on Bob. That's what this talk
meta
should be.
On
Bob.
Bob, yeah. Okay.
Mob.
Mob. Okay, so. Bob taught me don't believe in your blooming world. And I believe to not believe in my blooming world.
Yeah.
I believe to not believe in my blooming world.
Then you say
because did Joyce believe in his blooming world?
Well, we'd have to ask him.
Did Marshall believe in his blooming world? Is that what you're trying to say?
Did Joyce believe in his blooming world? Sure. You can't not believe in it. That's
right.
That's the sentence. Sensation is always one phase back behind matter. Remember
wow.
that? Page
but
32.
Did Marshall believe in his blooming world?
He went further than Joyce. Sensation is imitation.
32?
So that's belief.
Yeah.
Because the exterior forms are already in a new matter or a new ground. And he's writing this in 52, 53.
Sensation is what?
Already in a new matter or a new or ground.
Now, okay, did Marshall believe in his blooming world?
No, he knew.
Okay, does Bob believe in his blooming world?
Of course.
what you're saying is Joyce did, Marshall didn't, and
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, because
you're
luck of my chart, as Joyce, I'm the Joyce quadrant.
Yeah, and you say, don't do as I say, do as I do. No, don't do as I do, do as
no,
I say.
No, I say, don't do as I say. No, do as I say, and do as I do. Do it all, imitate me as much as possible, because I'm the new ground, and you're one phase back. You're a mere imitation of me. You will be accused of being a Bob dupe, but don't worry.
Right.
You'll know you're just one phase back.
But you're probably spy versus spy versus spy. You're saying,
I believe
in my blooming world, but I don't really believe in my blooming world, but I'm faking you that I don't believe in
again,
my
again, you're missing the ground.
Okay.
The internet means that nobody can believe anything, and you can project your own belief as a fake.
Right.
That is the environment. How do we have belief in relation to that?
Right.
The Android meme is doing all the... What you just said, Joyce did, and then I said McClune did, and Bob did.
Right.
Android meme's doing that, Jerry.
Right.
The most
evident right.
you think of, it's meta.
Right.
Constantly on you. So what are you going to do? First of all, you're not going to respond to spoken words. If you're forced to, you end up sounding hilarious. But I'm talking... These are... those fucking things you're going to show at Mob are... Bob in his lab, which just had to be Funny Farm,
right.
doing his technical form of study.
Right.
Way beyond concept, way beyond percept.
Right.
Trying to keep up with the Android meme.
Okay, let's switch to jams for a second.
Now,
so.
You see the complexity we're getting in here?
Oh, yeah.
And how
no,
Joyce, how
each,
the complexity
each,
is in fitting its weight.
Yeah.
That's why you don't analyze what the fucking words are.
Yeah.
You don't make fucking tetrads.
Right.
You understand that fucking meta that's going
yeah.
on in the wake. George
yeah.
Steiner said that the Finnish way is the most complex cultural artifact ever made up to that point because it's language about language.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that. That's a good
okay.
one. I use that. That's how I start this lecture on jamming the jammers. I started. We're going to talk.
So here we got.
We're talking about the
jammers that you talk about, Lenny Bruce and all those guys.
Yeah.
They're on the art side.
Yeah.
The guys who jam those are the multimedia scientists, Dobbs and McLuhan.
Right.
That's the thing. That's how you can organize this.
The outside is Ernie and Len.
They're the jammers.
Yeah.
Who jams the jammers? The scientists. Not the regular scientists,
okay,
but the media
but see,
scientists.
Now you're changing because I already made the point that who's jamming the jammers is the electricity.
Ah, yes. So. But the media scientists point out what's what electricity does.
Yeah,
and
so
why
the
media, artists go that way.
The media scientists
point out the
point
causes.
Out
the causes.
The causes
of the change in art indicated by the jammers. The change in the style of art by the jammers. Right? The whole thing is about these guys doing this and that, right?
Yeah. Now, here's what I start with, Bob, because you might get a kick out of it. I say, okay, here's Wired magazine, which had McLuhan as the patron saint from what year to what year?
93 to about 99.
And it's fastest growing magazine in the history of the world. It's just the
back then.
Yeah, it's just the Playboy magazine, so you have it on your counter, you know what new is hip. And here's a recent issue, why things suck. So why do things suck? So then I have people yell out, why? Yeah.